Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to the Serial Killer Podcast, the podcast dedicated to serial killers, who they were, what they did, and how. Episode 209. I am your humble host, Thomas Rosland Weiberg Thune, and tonight we continue the tale of the Hillside Stranglers, Kenneth Bianchi and Angelo Bono. We left off last episode with a lead-up to one of their first major murders. In this episode, we take a closer look at what happened and more. Enjoy. This episode, like all other sagas told by me, would not be possible without my loyal Patreonies. They are Lisbeth, Cassandra, Russell, Lisa, Cody, Kathy, James, Corbin, Kylie, Niao, Sabina, Val, Marilyn, Craig, Emily, Missy, Jonathan, Lance, Susanna, the Duggletons, Jennifer, Lunavar, D-Mac, Cheryl, Richard, Robert, Brad, Laurie, Manuel, Samira, Kathy, and your boy Frank. You are truly the backbone of the Serial Killer Podcast, and without you, there would be no show. Thank you.
I am forever grateful for my elite TSK Producers Club, and I want to show you that your patronage is not given in vain. All TSK episodes will be available 100% ad-free to my TSK Producers Club on patreon.com/theserialkillerpodcast. No generic ads, no ad reads, no jingles. I promise. And of course, if you wish to donate $15 a month, that's only $7.50 per episode, you are more than welcome to join the ranks of the TSK Producers Club too. So don't miss out and join now.
Thank you.
The so-called Strip began just past Fairfax Avenue at Schwab's Pharmacy, where actress Lana Turner was supposed to have been discovered in her sweater. The old Garden of Allah Hotel, once home to Eastern literary refugees like Scott Fitzgerald, used to be here. Its Moorish bungalows, by the time Bianchi and Buono rolled by, replaced by a white monolith building called Great Western Savings. Almost 5 decades later, today, the building still stands, but no longer houses a bank. Beyond this point, Sunset Boulevard curved in and out among giant billboards announcing a new album or a Las Vegas act, motels with adult movies, the Body Shop offering burlesque amateur contests Mondays and Wednesdays, and various bars and restaurants until the boulevard straightened out and entered the heavily policed hush of Beverly Hills. About halfway along the strip, Buono and Bianchi noticed a petite girl standing alone on the sidewalk. She stood in a driveway next to Carney's Express Limited, a diner converted from an old Union Pacific Railroad car. Buono drove well past her and pulled over. Bianchi got out as planned and crossed the road. There he sat down on a bus bench to wait. He was at the corner of Sunset and Sweetser, just down from the Golden Crest Hotel, its marquee proclaiming, and I quote, "Retirement living at its finest, most luxurious residence in L.A. End quote. He could see the girl across the street still standing in the driveway of the railroad diner, obviously offering her body for sex in exchange for money. A minute later, he caught sight of the Cadillac coming up Sunset again. Buono drove slowly past the girl and turned left, heading around the block once more. He was making it look, Bianchi figured, as though he had just spotted her. He would have made eye contact with her, continuing on as if he had not yet decided if he wanted to use her services. Then he would return. This time, Buono pulled into Carney's driveway. The girl came up to his window and they talked. Then the girl went around to the passenger side and got in next to Buono. They sat chatting for a bit until the traffic thinned. The Cadillac then backed out onto Sunset, made a U-turn, passed the bench where Bianchi waited, and turned right on Sweetser, rolling slowly down the side street. Bianchi, sensing that Buono did not want to work the scam where there was so much traffic, followed on foot. Sweetser ran down a steep hill, the lights of the city glimmering to the south. At the next corner, Buono turned right and pulled over. In seconds, Bianchi was there. He opened the front door on the girl's side, leaned in, and said, showing his badge, that he was the police and that she was under arrest. The girl did not seem surprised, only disappointed. Bianchi told the girl to get into the back seat, which she willingly did, and he followed in beside her. Bianchi closed the rear door, and Buono pushed a button that locked all the doors. Bianchi, attempting his best to imitate a police officer, told the girl he needed to put her in handcuffs. He handcuffed her, palms outward. As Buono drove off, he said, and I quote, "There was a guy standing in that parking lot. You got a pimp?" End quote. The girl denied this, but Buono was not convinced. He headed back up Sunset and glanced into the parking lot of the railroad diner. It was empty. He headed east, not rushing, obeying the traffic laws. The girl, still under the impression she was under arrest by real law enforcement, asked if they were heading for the Hollywood division. Buono told her they were not. Instead, they were taking her to a special unit. The girl was silent as they drove through Hollywood, turning east on Franklin to Western, north on Western to Los Feliz, east on their way to Glendale. Finally, she asked why she was being arrested. Bianchi told her she was being arrested for solicitation. Then asked her if she had been arrested before. She had not. Bianchi studied her. She was tiny. She was wearing a light blouse and slacks and a dirty suede jacket. Her small leather purse sat in her lap. The handcuffs made her lean forward, her straight brown hair obscuring her face. She looked 14, 16 at the outside. By his estimation, she wouldn't give them much trouble. The young girl said nothing more until Buono pulled all the way into his driveway, under the metal awning that joined the house and the shop. The Orange Grove apartments overlooked the shop and the house from the rear, but peering down from a second or third floor apartment, all anyone could see was the roof. The two men was confident that they enjoyed complete privacy. There were no risk of prying eyes, and since the house was located where it was, no outsiders could hear anyone scream. Buono got out and walked over to the laundry room door at the side of the house, unlocking it. Sparky, the dog, was waiting on the steps, but knew not to enter the house. When the girl asked what kind of place they had brought her to, they replied that the house was in fact a satellite police station, quite unique. The men guided the girl into the house. She did not resist. She was still under the impression that the men were police officers, and that all she had in store was a night in jail, and perhaps a fine. Worst case scenario, a few months behind bars. As Buono secured the deadbolt, Bianchi guided the girl into the living room and sat her down in the brown vinyl easy chair. He put her purse on the dining room table. Buono switched on some lights and approached the girl. Telling the girl to sit tight, the men went into the kitchen to agree to a game plan, decide how they would go from there. Buono reached under the sink and brought out a roll of masking tape about 3 inches wide. By blindfolding the girl, she would not be able to run away, even if she somehow managed to break free from her restraints. Then Buono lit up with a smile, told Bianchi to keep the girl busy talking while he fetched some items from his garage. Bianchi went into the living room and stood over the girl. She stared at the fish tank, avoiding his eyes. When he asked the girl her age, she replied that she was 15 years old. To this, the much older man sneered and commented that she was a bit young to be, and I quote, out whoring. The girl wasn't much fazed by this. She had been insulted and stepped on all her life. But she knew then that she was not in any kind of police station, and told Bianchi as much. He simply told her to shut up.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
When Bono returned, he called Bianchi into the kitchen again. From his shop, Bono had retrieved an orange work rag and a brick-sized piece of white foamy polyester material he used in stuffing car seats. He cut the foamy stuff in half with a pair of scissors and explained that they would put the material over each eye, secure it with tape, stuff the rag into her mouth, and secure that with the tape as well. It would be a good idea to make sure the masking tape went all the way around her head. Bianchi was offered to do the task, to gag the girl, but he asked if Buono could do it instead. He was getting a bit nervous. Buono shrugged and said okay, he would do it, but he needed Bianchi to stand behind the girl and hold her fast so that she did not squirm and thrash about too much. The two men returned to the living room, Buono holding the materials behind his back. They walked slowly up to her, and Bianchi moved behind her, resting his hands on her shoulders. Knowing that something was very wrong, the now very concerned girl asked what the hell was going on and started to get up. Bianchi pressed down. She started to scream. Being a very petite girl, she was no match for the athletic Bianchi to hold down. Buono produced the orange rag, rolled it into a ball, stuffed it into her mouth, unreeled a length of tape, sealed it over her mouth and wrapped the tape around her head 3 times, snipping it off with the scissors and rubbing it flat on the side of her face. Then he brought out the 2 pieces of foamy stuff and approached her eyes. She lowered her head, trying to avoid him. Bianchi shoved her down as she squirmed and tried to rise again. Bianchi pulled back on her forehead with one hand and yanked back on her hair with the other. Smiling, Buono pressed the foam into her eyes and wrapped it with tape around her head 3 times. The girl slumped, defeated. Buono took the tape back into the kitchen, replaced it under the sink, and put the scissors away in the drawer. Again, the two men retreated to the kitchen while the girl sat in the living room, trembling. In utter terror. Bono and Bianchi could not care less about the well-being of their captive. Their main concern was how they most effectively could get the girl naked, which was what they discussed in the kitchen. They returned to the girl. When commanded to stand up, the girl tried to obey, but lost her balance and fell back into the chair. They each took an elbow and helped her up and away from the chair. Buono found the handcuff's key on his keyring and removed them. He pulled off her jacket, walked with it over to the dining area and dropped it to the floor. A gold-smoked mirror wall behind the dining room table reflected the scene. Buono stared into the mirrored wall and liked what he saw. Everything was working. It was going to be great. In the smoky mirror, he watched Bianchi remove her blouse. Buono unhooked her bra as Bianchi placed her blouse on her jacket. Buono commented on how small the girl's breasts were. He rolled up the bra and tossed it to Bianchi. Then he put the handcuffs back on her so that she was forced to push out her chest. He liked that. Bianchi stood behind her again, holding her upper arms to steady her while Buono unzipped her pants. They eased her back into the chair. Buono removed her shoes and socks, told her to stand up again, and slid off her pants, telling her to lift one leg at a time. The girl complied. He let her stand there for a moment, nude, except for her underpants. Then he pulled off her underpants, smiled up at Bianchi, and gave the okay sign. He put her pants and underpants with the rest of her clothes, returned, and grabbed an arm. While he led her into the spare bedroom, he kept reassuring the girl that she did not need to worry about anything. They were just going to have sex, and it wasn't as if she was a virgin now, was it? The idea was to try and keep the girl as calm as possible until she again was properly restrained. The spare bedroom, on the east side of the house between the master bedroom and the bathroom, had nothing in it except a single bed. No other furniture, nothing on the walls. The spare bedroom had a simple function. He sat the girl on the bed and told her to lie down on her back, helping her get her legs up. She lay there, nude, gagged, blindfolded, handcuffed. Buono passed through the beading that hung down in place of a door between the spare bedroom and his bedroom. He turned on the light in his room and checked to see if it shone enough into the spare bedroom. Satisfied, he returned to Bianchi. The men discussed who should rape the girl first. In the end, they decided to flip a coin over it. Buono dug into his pocket and pulled out a quarter. Buono won. Grinning, he looked at the girl's nude body as he spoke to Bianchi. He told his cousin to rifle through the girl's possessions while he had his fun. She might have some money or valuables, which would be a nice bonus. Bianchi followed Buono's instructions to the letter. In her purse, he found $2 and some change in a wallet with nothing else in it except a snapshot of two little boys, one about 8, the other maybe 4. He went through her jacket pockets but found nothing. He heard noises, Buono's voice, indistinct but harsh, commanding, and female squeals. He must have taken the gag off. Bianchi had a pretty good idea what his cousin was doing to the girl, and he liked it. The squeals turned him on. He wanted to see what Buono was doing, imagined Buono's big penis thrusting in and out of the petite girl. Bianchi waited until it was quiet, then entered the spare bedroom through Buono's room, parting the hanging beads. His cousin had left his socks on. He was lying atop the girl, who was on her back now, unmoving, knees up. The tape across her mouth had been partly ripped off, and the orange rag lay on the bed next to the wall. Bianchi figured Buono had gotten one or both of the things he liked best. As he suspected, Buono did not mind Bianchi entering the room. He smiled and told the younger man to bring his Polaroid camera. He wanted to document the scene. Bianchi fetched the camera from the bedroom closet. It had film in it and a flash attached. Bianchi took the picture and tore off the film. Buono got off the girl and told her to put her legs down. He took the camera and film from Bianchi and told him it was his turn. Bianchi said he wanted to see how the photo came out first. They waited a minute in the dim light. Buono peeled back the photograph. They were happy with the result, and Bianchi took off his clothes and climbed onto the girl. After a few strokes, he breathed at her and said, and here I quote, "Did he fuck you in the ass? Did he? Did he? Well, turn over, bitch. Turn over. Get ready for it." End quote. When Bianchi emerged from the spare bedroom, Buono had arranged her clothes in a neat pile on the dining room table. The $2 and change were gone, and the purse sat atop the pile. The men smiled at each other. Then Buono told Bianchi to gag the girl again. He found a rag on the bed, told the girl to open her mouth, stuffed the rag back in, and sealed her mouth with a few strips of tape. He returned to Buono and watched him put the clothes and purse into a large green garbage bag. Buono ripped up the photograph and the negative and dropped them into the bag as well. Then, in a matter-of-fact voice, Buono said, and again I quote, "Well, how are we gonna do this? How are we gonna strangle her? We gotta strangle her. It's the only way to do this, unless you got some other ideas." End quote. Bianchi was slightly taken aback by this, that they actually would go through with murder, but eagerly agreed. They had already agreed on strangulation. Buono had been eloquent on the subject. He always liked talking about the best ways to kill. Shooting was too dangerous, he said. Gunshot wounds told too much of a story. They were messy, and bullets could be traced. Other methods, bludgeoning to death, chopping her up, poisoning, introduced too many complications. They had never worked out the details, but strangulation was definitely the way to go. Besides, the thought of watching a girl gasping for breath was appealing in itself, they agreed. When they returned to the bedroom, Buono approached the bed. In a soothing voice, he told the girl to sit up and explained that they would put her clothes back on. He eased on her underpants and slacks. He zipped up the slacks. Then he motioned to Bianchi that he was going to put her on the floor. Bianchi prepared to catch her. Buono lowered her to the floor. There, Bianchi bound her ankles as tightly as he could. Buono came back, holding a plastic vegetable bag, the kind dispensed free at supermarkets. He seemed delighted with his ingenuity as he took a long cord from Bianchi and slung it around his neck. Buono was ready. He flexed his fingers and stood there, looking as efficient as a professional hangman. The girl lay on her back on the floor. Buono knelt behind her head. He looked up at Bianchi, nodded vigorously at him, and Bianchi lowered himself quickly onto the girl's legs, facing her, sitting on her knees. She started fighting back then, as she more than suspected that the man was planning on doing something terrible, and she fought for her life. She screamed behind her gag, tried to roll to the side, tried to rise up at the waist. Buono pressed his knees down onto her shoulders. He opened the plastic bag with both hands, jammed it over her head, pulled the cord from around his neck, and wrapped it quickly once around her neck, sealing the bag. Bianchi raised his legs, letting his full weight press down through his butt on her knees. Buono started to pull on the two ends of the cord, then shifted around and put one of the ends under his right foot, catching the knot against the side of the sole of his shoe, putting all his weight on that foot. Then he pulled on the other end of the cord with both hands and rose up, pulling, yanking. She was trying to buck and flex now. Her bagged, roped head hit Buono's foot, and he lost his balance, falling over backward, cursing. He regained his position, one foot on the end of the cord, both hands on the other end. He yanked with all his strength, pulling upward and backward, letting out grunts of effort, which mingled with the gargling death rattles of the girl, who arched her back, fighting for her life. The pain and fear the girl must have felt is almost unimaginable. As I so often tell you, dear listener, strangulation is not a kindly murder method. It is one of the most sadistic ones. The vegetable bag puffed frantically in and out with her breathing, then less frantically, then barely, and then it stopped puffing. She stopped flexing. She stopped breathing. It was over. Buono and Bianchi had murdered their first victim together.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Searching for the perfect gift idea for that hard-to-buy person on your list? The Allbirds Wool Runner is a natural fit. The Wool Runner is super cozy, super comfy, and super giftable. It's made with ZQ-certified merino wool, a naturally cozy material that offers next-level comfort and a lower environmental impact. The cushioned midsole and versatile design offer all-day comfort in a classic style you can wear every day, even in a winter wonderland. And its fully machine-washable construction makes it easy to keep your shoes looking like new. Allbirds shows off the Wool Runner's carbon footprint right on the shoe so you can see the difference for yourself. On top of that, they actually offset that carbon footprint to zero, making the Wool Runner completely carbon neutral, so you can stay cozy and tread lighter on the planet. This holiday season, give tidings for comfort and coziness with the Allbirds Wool Runner. Discover your perfect pair at allbirds.com. That's allbirds.com.
And with that, we come to the end of part two in this series, which will be several episodes covering the saga of the Hillside Stranglers. In 2 weeks, I will bring to you part three. So, as they say in the land of radio, stay tuned.